right. Well, as you guys know, whenever I teach, I bring all kinds of stuff, so it always takes me a second here to get everything going. But I always like to start off with prayer. We're going to keep this prayer short because we got a lot to cover here this morning. And let's go ahead and bow our heads. I thank you, Heavenly Father, for just bringing everybody here this morning. I pray that it's just your words that are heard this morning, that you reach all of our hearts, that you open our minds, and that your word just may come alive to us as we dig in this morning. And with that, we pray in Jesus' name, and all said, Amen. All right. So, the title of this message is The Source of Self. Now, those of you who came to the service this past weekend, you know that Skip taught on selfishness, and it was Selfie Sunday, and he talked about how we can all become selfish. So what we're going to do here today is we're just going to kind of continue on in that same regard, looking at who we are. And that's why the title of this message is The Source of Self. Because as we saw, selfishness tends to come up, and we can see it pretty easy in our day today. So the way we're going to go about doing this is we're going to break it into a couple of pieces. The first thing that we're going to talk about, it's going to be knowledge. Because knowledge kind of overlaps with wisdom, and the basis of what we're going to get at here this morning is going to be wisdom. But what we need to do first is define what knowledge is, because there's this overlap, but they're different. And we're going to take a look at how they are different. Then what we're going to do is we're going to take a look at wisdom. And the way Scripture breaks down wisdom is it falls into two categories. There's a wisdom that is from above, and there's one that's not, or it's earthly. And that's the way Scripture breaks this out. So what we'll do is we'll dig into what exactly that means. Once we've done that, we figured out, okay, here's what knowledge is, here's what wisdom is, as the Bible defines it, and we see those two groups, what we'll then begin to do is figure out, how does that apply to our everyday life? I always tell men, what does that look like tomorrow? How is that going to change your life? So that's what we're going to do here this morning, okay? The verses that we're going to cover, we're going to mainly be in James chapter 3, verses 13 through 18. So those of you who have your Bibles with you, that's where we're going to be. And we're going to break down those wisdoms, as I said. What's going to happen is as we get further along in this and we get towards the end of the study here and the application part, we're going to move fast. I'm going to let you guys know now. We're going to move fast. We're going to be jumping to some scriptures. So if I start going, okay, let's go back. Back is James, okay? That's our home. That's where we're going to be at. That's where we're going to live today. So we're in James chapter 3, verse 13 through 18. Let's go ahead and read this. We have that up there for you guys as well. Here in my Bible, really quick, this one I got, it has these little titles here. I see heavenly versus demonic wisdom. And that pretty much sums this up. Verse 13 says, "Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, demonic. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality, without hypocrisy. Now the fruit of the righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace." Okay. So there we have it. Here in James, what we see are these two very different types of wisdom. And the way it was listed is one that is from above and one that was not. That's what we see there. But as we'll begin to break these verses down, what you'll begin to notice is that there was a list of characteristics or even attributes that fell under each wisdom. And that's what we're going to take a good look at this morning. But you may ask, well, why is that important? Well, the reason why it's important is because wisdom plays a huge part in our lives. And where we see wisdom show up in life is usually in a question form. What usually happens in our lives is we start asking things like, what's next for my life? What's my career path? You know, where should I go? Or how am I going to make it through this? When we start to deal with trials and difficulties in our lives, wisdom is important. It's crucial. And when those questions pop up, the way we go about answering all those depends on where you get your wisdom from. That's how this works. You see, because who you are determines how you answer those questions and the way you go about doing it. But what's interesting is that our lives, once we start making these decisions, right, our lives reflect our source of wisdom. It starts to show exactly where we're drawing that from. And then our source of wisdom reveals who we are. Because you take on these certain characteristics. So wisdom becomes something that we really have to understand. And as we go through this, I think some of us might be surprised to find out what exactly wisdom is. So before we get into what wisdom is, I want to talk about knowledge. We said we were going to address knowledge first. Well, what's knowledge? Well, it's information. It's the accumulation of facts. That's what knowledge is. You know, what's interesting about knowledge is today for us, we're told that we live in an information age, right? That's the computer age. That's what we currently live in. And this is a shift from the Industrial Revolution, right? From having our economy based on manufacturing, we've made this move to an economy that's based on information, computerization. Just think about that. That's all really computers are, right? It takes a whole bunch of facts and information and just makes it to where we can easily get at it and access it and make better decisions. That's what this stuff does. That's what knowledge is. It's what information is. If we were to look at just the top 10 most profitable companies in the world, what makes up those companies, you would see in there, you'd see banks, you'd see oil, and you would see the tech industry. Matter of fact, if you just kind of narrow it down to the top five that are the most profitable companies as of 2015, number one would be Apple. It's a tech company. It's all based on information, organizing it, make it so that we can use it in all aspects of our lives, right? Organizing these things. And what's interesting is we've become, especially here in America, a culture that really values information, facts. We value those things. It's something that's really important to us. Just think about most of the conversations you have usually with other men, because women don't seem to care about all the facts that we know. But with other men, we tend to spit out facts all the time. That's the majority of our conversation. We value facts. It's kind of interesting. As I was preparing for this, as you guys all know, APS just started. I have three kids. I have my oldest is a daughter. She's going to be 13 here in a couple weeks. And then I have two boys. One's 8 and one's 11. And at the beginning of school, you know, they always have open house. And you go and you meet the teachers and all that. So we were going through this. And what they do is, during this open house, they also have a book fair. And my kids always like to go to the book fair. And I'm like, sure, we'll go pick out some books. So we show up over there to the school. And we go to the book fair. And I'm over there picking up novels. Hey, how's this book, you guys? And they're like, nah, we don't want that book. They go and they find this book, this huge book. And they bring it back and they go, this is the one we want. And it just dawned on me as I was preparing for the study that it just totally ties in. The name of this book was The National Geographic Kids Ultimate Weird But True Edition, Volume 3, 1,000 Wild and Wacky Facts. That's what my boys picked. 1,000 Wild and Wacky Facts. And I sat there and I go, they're not going to read this? They're not going to read? No, my two boys went home. They flipped that sucker open on the kitchen table. And they were going through there going, Dad, did you know Did you know this bug could be this big? And I'm sitting there going, okay, cool. Did you know they built a house that looks like a shoe? And all these wild, just crazy facts. They went through the entire book. I could tell you more facts right now than any of you would ever care to know. But what's interesting is as I was preparing for this, I'm like, that's knowledge. That's knowledge, right? And so what I started to do is I go, I'm going to go through that book and find out what facts can I use for the message I'm going to talk to those guys about. So I got a couple for you. I figured I'd share some. One is the brain is 60% fat. I found that kind of interesting. It's actually the fattest organ in the brain. I didn't know that. That was one of those across the room. Hey, Dad. I found that interesting. Another one was that every day between 50,000 and 70,000 thoughts whiz through your brain. Between 50 and 70,000 thoughts whiz through your brain. And I started to sit there and think about those facts and about my boys in that book. And it just got me to thinking because as I thought about that, that's not wisdom. That's not wisdom. That information, what is that? You see, the wisdom in Scripture teaches something totally different. But in today, in our culture, it's all about what you can spit out, right? What you can say. That's what we value. Information. I want more facts and knowledge so I can look good to everybody else as I say all the things that I know. In Scripture, we see something totally different. Wisdom in Scripture tells us that it allows you to use knowledge correctly. That's what it says. Or another one is, it's the know-how in life. That's what wisdom is, the know-how. I like this one. Skillfulness to formulate a plan and carry it out. It's not enough just to formulate a plan and carry it out. And the word I want you guys to pick up on there is the word skill. You see, the word skill, wisdom can also be translated skill. In the Hebrew, that's what it'll translate as. That paints a very different picture of what wisdom is when we think about our everyday lives. The best one, and the one I really want you guys to take away with, is that wisdom is being good at life. That's an interesting one. Wisdom is being good at life. And as we start to dive in here a little bit more, I want to just talk a little bit about the context in which James is writing. Okay, this is to Jewish people. And it doesn't seem like it today, but before our information age, and in most cultures, wisdom was something that was a huge value. People and cultures took time to talk about how to do life right. We don't really do that anymore. We don't see that anymore. And we see the effects of it. So here in James, as he's talking to the Jewish people, they would sit there and understand what this wisdom is. And it makes sense that there's characteristics that make up these two wisdoms that we're about to break down. But what I want to do is take you to a place where we can kind of see that in Scripture. And I want us to go all the way back to Deuteronomy. We're going to go to Deuteronomy chapter 4. And we're going to look at verses 5 and 6. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 5 and 6. And they have this up there on the screens for some of you that don't have your Bibles. So here in Deuteronomy, what we're looking at is this is where Moses is commanding obedience. Really what he's doing is he's about to just educate the children of Israel on how they ought to conduct themselves when they go into the promised land. And look at what he says here in verse 5. We'll pick it up. It says, "Surely I have taught you statutes and judgments, just as the Lord my God commanded me, that you should act according to them in the land which you go to possess. Therefore," so because of all that, "therefore, be careful to observe them, for this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the people who will hear all these statutes and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people." Let's stop there. You see, God had a plan with the children of Israel to set them up as they went into the promised land to be a people that were a wise group of people. And the way he went about doing this was saying, hey, follow the statutes and the judgments that I have commanded you. So there were certain things that they had to do. So wisdom throughout this Jewish culture is something that was highly valued. It was something that you would learn to do. It would be a part of everyday life. And that's what we see there. Another place in Scripture when you just start to talk about wisdom is the book of Proverbs. I mean, if you just look how the book of Proverbs opens up, I mean, it starts with knowledge and wisdom. I mean, in Proverbs you can also read, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. The major theme throughout the book of Proverbs is one of wisdom and instruction. Throughout that whole book. And if you go through that book, what you'll begin to find is that to have this wisdom, you usually have to do something for it. You'll have to go get it. Or you'll have to seek it, it'll say in Scripture. You have to go find this wisdom. So it's interesting because as we go back to the verses that we're looking at here in James, and he's talking about wisdom, this is something that's a very practical wisdom, but it is something that is really valued in their lives. And sometimes I think that's hard for us to understand because we're all about facts. 1,000 wild and wacky facts. And some of you guys are going to walk out of here and all you're going to remember is that the brain is 60% fat. You're going to be waiting all day long for somebody to say something about the brain so you can go, did you know? It's going to be in there. But that's not all that this is about, right? So this brings us back to our questions. The questions about what's next for my life, which way should I go, what should I do? When we all have those difficult questions, what are we going to look to, right? Where are we going to draw this wisdom? What skills are we going to use in life? Wherever I can for the rest of this study, what I'm going to try to do is use the word skill. Because again, when we just talk about wisdom, you know, a lot of us, that's just sometimes too lofty. You know, I started thinking, what is wisdom? I started thinking of old guys with long beards sitting on mountains. It just seems too far out there. It seems like it just wasn't something I could grab a hold of. You know what I mean? So what I want to do for the rest of this study, where I can, I want to use the word skill because that's what it is. It's exactly what it is. And skill is the ability to do something well, as we talked about, doing life well. And it's going to take on these certain characteristics that we'll look at here in James in just a moment. But what I want you guys to remember are these two, the way they were grouped. There was a wisdom that was from above. Okay, that's a wisdom of God. And then there was a wisdom that was not from above. And that's earthly wisdom. I'll throw that around too. Or the wisdom of Satan, just to be clear. That's what that is. It's a wisdom of Satan. But see, again, that just seems like something that's out there, right? But then when you say, when we replace it with skill, look at what you have. The skill of God. Are you developing the skills of God in your life? Do you feel like you have skills of God when you're making decisions? And then the other one is we have skills of Satan. You develop a skill set that is just like what Satan would do. You see, when we begin to take wisdom and break it into an everyday word and start to think about skills, it changes some things. Changed some things for me. Got me to start thinking. So let's look at these characteristics, because again, these characteristics that we see here will tell you where you're getting your wisdom from. And it's surprising as we go through these. So let's start on verse 14 to look at the first wisdom. Verse 14 we see there. It says, but if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, and demonic. Let's just stop there for a moment. So there, in those two verses, what we have are the characteristics of Satan. That's how we'll just talk about that. That's this worldly wisdom. Okay, that's being like Satan. And what you see there are six, I'm going to call them characteristics, that you can begin to have in your life when you're gaining your wisdom from there. And they were bitter envy, self-seeking, not from above, earthly, sensual, and demonic. Those were the six that were there. Now, just to be clear again on what these are, envy is just to be jealous. Again, Skip talked about this. That was the whole message right past weekend about being selfish. Envy is just being jealous. Self-seeking has a rivalry tone to it. When you put those two things together, what you have is selfish ambition. That's what those two things make. Selfish ambition. So when you start to think about which camp you fall in, selfish ambition is one that trips up a lot of men. It's very easy to fall into that camp. What's interesting is these are inner qualities, right? Nobody really sees that you're jealous from somebody else, right? Or that you're really competing with the guy across the way. Nobody really sees those. But the way you know whether or not that's happening is you see this worldly wisdom or Satan's wisdom will do anything it can to promote itself. Again, think back to last week's message about Selfie Sunday. Anything it can to promote itself. And for men, all we have to do is look at our jobs. And we start to realize real quick where camp we fall into when we start asking ourselves questions like, are we being ambitious, selfishly ambitious? Really makes us think about it. Let's keep moving on. Not from above. This characteristic there, I'm going to deal with this one more on the positive side when we get to the other wisdom. Okay, so we're going to skip over that one there for a second. Earthly. This one is interesting because, you see, earthly is just meaning not of God. But in the context that we see it here where it's like in a contrast, right, to heaven, really what it means is it's inferior. That's what that means. Don't mistake the fact that Satan's wisdom, it's a valid wisdom. It is a wisdom that you can use to apply to your life. You totally can. And in a lot of situations, and a lot of times in our lives, we have. But see, what happens is you have this bag of wisdom over here, Satan's wisdom with these characteristics, and then you have God's. And what we do when we ask ourselves those questions is you're reaching into one of these bags and pulling out those characteristics and applying them to yourself. And that in turn drives who you are. That's how people see you. And that becomes the source of self. So as we look at this and we talk about an inferior wisdom, it is a wisdom. You can use it. It is there for the taking. And many times we do. And then we see there the last one, second to last, is sensual. This just has to do with flesh. This is gratifying the senses. That's what that one shakes out to be. And the very last one was demonic, meaning just basically, you're doing all those other ones, guess what you're doing? You're just being like Satan. That's just how that shakes out. That's exactly what that is. So if that is the wisdom of Satan, if that is this world's wisdom, right, this wisdom that is not from above, let's go ahead and transition now to the other wisdom. Let's pick up there on verse 17, okay? It says, but the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Let's stop there. In this second group that we have of characteristics, if you'll notice, there are seven of them. There are seven characteristics here. And what's interesting about this group of characteristics is I get the sense that they kind of go in ranking order here. And the way we start off with, it's from above. It's pure. That's what we see. So this idea of from above, yes, it has this idea of holy, but I also wanted to fill you in on it. It also says free from carnality, which I found interesting. Basically, what it means is that other wisdom, it's nothing like that. It takes no attributes or characteristics at all from the world. is something higher. It is pure. It is holy. That is the first one we see there. The next one we see is peace. Okay? What this looks like in everyday life is it's free from disturbance. Basically, it means no division. As we saw on the other side with the other wisdom, right? Worldly wisdom is the first thing you start to see there is a rivalry that causes division. Here on the other side, after pure, we see peace. No division. There's no division here. The third thing we see is gentle. That's being considerate. That's being patient. Again, all we have to do is take a look at work and ask ourselves those questions. Yielding. Willing to listen. That one we could apply to practically every realm of our life. I mean, are you willing to listen to your spouse, to your kids, to your boss? Or are you just waiting for them to have a stop so you can show them that they're wrong? So that you can prove that your way works. Right? A rivalry, a jealousy. Let's keep moving. Then we have mercy. Now, mercy and good fruits go together. Those of you who are pretty quick and are up there counting, mercy and good fruits go together. So that's one. That's why we don't have eight characteristics. We have seven. Those two go together because it has to do with compassion, which it just means you're being practical. Okay? It's something where you're just showing that to others, and that takes a practicality in life that you have to do. And then the last two are kind of interesting because what we see there is we see this transition from all of these positive things, and we'll see this transition there to these two negatives, right? It is not partial, and it is not a hypocrite. And what we're trying to get at there with those last two is that's being fair. It's being just. You know, being honest. That could be a tough thing to do sometimes because, again, remember what we're talking about and what these characteristics have to do with is wisdom, a skill in your life. Do you have these skills in your life? So when we look at these two, I skipped over a couple of verses because each group, each bag of wisdom that we reach into, it produces something. And over there on the earthly or Satan's wisdom side, when we're pulling out those characteristics, there is something you're going to reap from that. And what that's going to be is in verse 16. So if we go back and look at this, it says, "For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there." So how do you know if you're dipping into that bag of those characteristics and applying them to your life, if that's the wisdom that you're reaching for? Well, you're going to have confusion in your life. And you're going to find yourself in some places you don't really want to be because of the decisions that you're making, because of the wisdom that you're drawing from. And conversely, let's go and look back on the other side. Well, what do you get from following God's wisdom and trying to be like God? That's verse 18. "Now the fruit of the righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace." What do you get there? You get righteousness. You start to become more like Christ. And what else does that bring? That brings peace. That's what it brings. You're going to have peace in your relationships with your wife, with your kids, at work. That's the hardest one for men. That's the hardest one for me. Boy, work, peace, work. Woo. That gets rough, man. That gets rough. And the reason is because of where we're drawing that knowledge. You see, because where we draw that knowledge from, the reason why it's tough at work is because I'm drawing out of that bag going, hey, that's how you be successful, like this guy over here. How did he get there? Well, I'm going to go be like that. I'm going to make those moves. And that's what we do. We're reaching into this earthly wisdom. We're reaching into Satan's wisdom bag, and we're applying those attributes. That's what I need to be. That's my career path. I, right? That's why we struggle there. Because it's not easy to sit there while the boss is talking to reach in and pull out yielding. It's not. It's something that takes time. We have to work on. So what I'm going to try to do is we're going to just now try to break down the practical of that. Okay, now that we have these two different versions of what wisdom is, a skill set, We need to figure out how to apply that. Each and every one of you guys in here, you got a job or had a job at some point or whatever the case may be. Think about the skills that were necessary for you to hold that position. You held that position because somebody thought you could do that job. Hey, they got the skill sets to do X, Y, Z. You know, we see this pretty commonly or easily in those of you who are tradesmen, right? If you're a plumber, electrician, I mean, that's the model there. What they do is you usually, you're an apprentice, right, for a little while. And you're learning from somebody who already knows the skill set and knows how to do those things. They begin to teach you how to become an individual like that. And it requires a certain knowledge base. So think about Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ was a carpenter. Well, from that we can infer some things. He knew how to measure. He knew how to work with hand tools. Right? There was certain things. Apparently he was pretty physically fit. To be a carpenter isn't an easy thing. I got much respect for you carpenters in here because I used to do that with my dad for a while. That's hard work. Lifting all that stuff, you got to be physically fit. So you have to, it infers certain things. Well, that's what wisdom does. You see, the characteristics are inferring that if you're going to have that wisdom, then you should have certain skill sets. But oftentimes we walk through life not really knowing how to develop further, how to answer those life questions on which way to go and what should I do. And we're just kind of, you know, we pray about it, which is great and all that. But are we digging into the skill set and applying those attributes to our lives and those characteristics so they can help us navigate? That's where the rubber meets the road. Those are the things that we have to do. Most men, me included, it's easier to look out to somebody else and go, that's where I want to be. That's where I want to go. The truth of that is you're just looking to another man who was looking to another man who was looking to another man. Who are you looking at? Where are you going? So here we're going to pick up the pace a little bit. We're going to start to look at some things. I want to go to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. We're going to look at verse 24 through 27. Common story. Very common story. Most of you know this about building on the rock. Let's go ahead and read through this. It says, therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended and the floods came and the winds blew and beat on that house. And it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain descended and the floods came and the wind blew and beat on that house and it fell. And great was its fall. So a lot of us are familiar with that story. We know the meaning behind that story. What I want you guys to look at here this morning is that Jesus Christ himself, there in verse 24, says, therefore, whoever hears, that's one thing, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man. You see, that's a two-pronged approach there. Most often, we just hear. We like to come, we like to sit down, we hear a great message, we hear a great pastor there in the sanctuary, and we go, wow, it was great. Where's the do? Because again, we're talking about wisdom. We're talking about a skill set. Where's that part? That's what makes the wise man in Jesus Christ's story. It doesn't just say, oh, hey, him who hears, I liken him to a wise man. That's not what it says. Right? We got to be building something. Whether you realize it or not, you're building. You're seeking from a knowledge. You're seeking from a wisdom. Because you have one of two choices. And what we need to do is evaluate where are those areas in our life where we're reaching into the wrong bag. Because it takes the doing part to do this right, to build on the rock. We talked about those relationships. We talked about in work. when those things come up. So how do you know, right? How do you know what to do when that question comes up? Well, here's one way you can do it. You can ask yourself, is this pure? Because if we go back to the characteristics that we were looking at there in James, the first one is that it is pure. God's wisdom is pure. So if you're sitting there going, well, how do I know if what I'm trying to do at work or starting my own business or doing all these things, if I'm being selfish, if it's total selfish ambition, ask yourself, is this pure? Where is this coming from? And if you're honest with yourself, you'll start to realize. I met with a guy just the other day for lunch, and he's in here. And it just kind of slapped me in the face as we were talking about this sort of thing, because we're just talking about directions in life. And he sat there and he goes, I decided to retire. And the reasons he gave me were interesting, because what he had said is, he goes, I put two lists down. I put all the lists of why I wanted to stay and all the lists why I should retire. Right? And that summed it up. He said the list to stay was all about me. Every single one of these things on there was all about me. To retire was about everybody else. He goes, so I retired. How cool is that? He picked out from God's wisdom instead of picking out of Satan's. That's what he did. So as we look at this, that's the thing we need to think about. Let's go ahead and jump over to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. We're going to look at verses 1 through 3. Now, as you guys are turning there, I wanted us to go to Ephesians. Just a little background here. This is about grace and how we came to our faith, okay? But I wanted to use this because, you know what, when we talk about these things as men, sometimes they could just be rough to hear. And I'm going to tell you, it's rough to study. Because, boy, you just get cut to the heart and God starts to show you all the things in your life that you just did for yourself. It's eye-opening. But here's what I wanted you to see. Here's why I bring you here. In Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 3, it says, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. Let's stop there. Here's why I bring us here. You can't be too hard on yourself, all right? We, by nature, are used to just dipping into Satan's wisdom and pulling out all those attributes and applying them to our life. It's not even second nature. It's our nature. That's what we do. It's always about us. We're just used to going in this bag. And what we're talking about here this morning is we need to make a shift. We need to stop building a house on the sand and we need to go, okay, I need to change my life to be more like Jesus Christ. And what you begin to do is you stop reaching in the same bag. That's what this is telling us here. It comes. It's there. And it takes a conscious effort. It takes a skill set to develop. You just don't wake up and walk into your job and go, psh, I got VP right here. I could do it. It takes a skill set. You have to learn certain things. You have to know how to maneuver in certain situations. Make financial decisions at work, right? Operational decisions. Who to hire, who not to. We do it every day as men. And then when it comes to our personal life, we're just going it alone. We don't have to go it alone. That's our natural skill set, and that's where the wisdom was originally rooted. We need to stop reaching into that bag. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, and we're going to look at verses 18 through 24. This is a big chunk here. The reason why I wanted us to go here is because this is the rub. This is where this is all going to break down, okay? 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18 through 24. Again, in my Bible, it says, Christ, the power and wisdom of God. That's what we see here. Verse 18 says, for the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God, for it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through wisdom did not know God, it pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. For Jews request a sign and Greeks seek after wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, to the Jews a stumbling block and to the Greeks foolishness. Verse 24, but to those who are called both Jew and Greek, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Did you guys pick up on that? Christ is the wisdom of God. You know what I love about this whole chunk of scripture that we see here? Is it basically sums up what this is going through, is that you see the Jewish people, Jesus Christ to the Jewish people, he wasn't the answer. It's like, this guy's talking a little nonsense. He can't be that guy. So it was a stumbling block to them. But to the Greeks, who again, knowledge and wisdom was something very important to them, they would hear all those characteristics that we just went through in James and go, that's not wisdom. That's weakness. That's what they would say. Get that out of here. And what we see here in Scripture is that Jesus Christ, all those things are attributes of God, right? That we need to be applying, because who is the wisdom? It's Jesus Christ. So again, when we start to navigate our lives and start to talk about that, is it pure? Is the question is this something that Christ wants for my life? That's how you look at that. That's how we develop that skill set. That's what this is all about. Let's go to Colossians 2, verses 2 through 3 to drive this point home, because this is the part that we need to start changing in our lives. This is where we need to apply the skill set. Colossians chapter 2, verses 2 through 3. It says, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. What that verse is saying right there is that, hey, because you're a Christian, right? You signed up, just like whatever your job title is right now. You've signed up and said, hey, I'm a Christian. Those are your orders. That's how you do your job. It says right there that we need to become, we need to understand, come to the fullness of the Son of God, to a perfect man. You're called to be a perfect man. What that means there is to be a mature Christian. Why? It tells us, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, meaning we need to be like Christ more and more every day. That's a very difficult thing to do. I read through that and started thinking about my life, and that's a tall order. How do we go about being like Christ every day? Goes back to James. Goes back to that bag of wisdom. Start to apply those attributes. That's where this all comes to. The last place I want to take you, because we're starting to run out of time here, is Ephesians chapter 4, verse 13. Excuse me, we were already there, right? Oh, we were in Colossians. Yeah, I'm sorry. So Ephesians chapter 4. Let me back up. I just read through there. I want to go to the Colossians 2 that I had. I didn't read that one. Colossians 2 was that their hearts may be encouraged, be knit together in love, and attaining all the riches of the fullness of the full assurance of understanding, to the knowledge of the mystery of God, both the Father and of Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. I wanted to take you guys to two places. That one there is the Colossians. The one I was reading before, forgive me, that was Ephesians. But what I wanted to take you guys, for you guys to see, is that where we need to be going to drawing this wisdom is back to Jesus Christ. And it sounds so practical, and we hear that all the time, right? But the truth of the matter is, when you talk about wisdom, and we talk about that's a skill, are we really applying those skills to our lives every day? It takes something of you to do that. And what it takes of you is usually some time. So what I want to do as we close out here today is I want to issue a challenge. We see everywhere you walk in here, you see challenge everywhere. We see it everywhere. So what I want to do today is issue a challenge. And the challenge is going to be every single one of you has the announcement sheet there at your table. On the back of that announcement sheet, there's some lines there. And if you want to increase your wisdom in your walk, if you want to learn to be more like Christ, if you want to be able to answer those questions in life, like which way do I go or how do I get through this, I'm going to challenge you to write down your next steps. And there's a couple of examples there on the paper, but I want to give you a few more. If you only read your Bible once a week, then maybe do it twice. Okay? I'm not asking for everybody to go out and you know, do things outside their skill set, but just start a little bit, just like however it is you learned a little bit at work. You just put something in place. You got to practice there. So if you're reading three times a week, great. How about four? For those of you guys who are going, yeah, I'm pretty steady in my reading, do my study, do all those things. Okay. Well, how about you pick an attribute of God and study it? How about you learn that wisdom? Because that will truly grow you in trying to learn more about who God is and what those attributes really mean. Because that's not just knowledge and facts, right? It's going to be tough to understand that. So for those of you who are in that realm, do that. Answer a question. If you're going through a certain trial or trouble in life, write down that issue. Look to the scripture to find out what that is. Grow that wisdom. Grow that skill set. And if you guys are already doing that, you're on that level, then here's what I'll do. Share it. Because that's something we all struggle with. Sharing your faith with somebody else, that's difficult. So my point is being, there's something for every single one of us at every single skill level in here to continue to grow our wisdom. So those of you who are willing to take that challenge, I want you to write it down. Here's what we're going to do. Those of you who choose to take the challenge, and again, we're not going to cause division here in one of the characteristics that we went over. I'm going to ask everybody to bow their heads, and those of you who wanted to do it, raise your hand. I'm going to pray for you. Here's what we're going to do with those. We're going to pick all those up afterward, right? Well, not what your challenge was, but we're going to get your information. And what we're going to do is we're going to try to pray for you guys as a group, right? The people, the leaders at your table are going to get that information. And then what we want to do is share that information at the next rally. You see, because we go a full month without being around one another. And it's tough to gain that wisdom and that knowledge with other individuals when you only see them once a month. Any relationship, that's hard. So what we want to do is take those and we want to put them up and celebrate those of you guys where we say, hey, you know, Joe Smith is up there and he's been doing good reading more than ever before. We want to celebrate with you. Or if you're running into those troubles, we want to come alongside and help you. We want to be those individuals there to grow with you. So if you guys are feeling that tug on your heart and you're ready to get a little bit deeper and you're ready to start dipping into that bag of God's wisdom and applying those attributes, then I'm going to ask that you bow your heads. Every single one of us bow your heads. And those of you who are ready for this, I want you to go ahead and raise your hand. And then I want to pray for you specifically. So that as you guys venture out on your challenge, I can pray for you as well. You can put your hands down now. Let me pray for you. I pray, Heavenly Father, that we can all grow in your wisdom. That we can just learn your skill set. That it's just not something that we hear all the time. And somehow just think things are going to magically happen. But that we come alongside you. That you fill us with your Holy Spirit. That you give us the strength to continue on and to learn how to be more like you. So that we can have this wisdom and stop focusing so much on ourselves to improve our relationships over in our families, at work, in our community, that we continue to be those men. I ask that you just lift them up, that we can be with them every step of the way for your glory, for your honor, to further your word so that we can teach the next generation on how to do life well. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.